Hi, this is JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Here at UK Health Radio, we're hugely saddened by the loss at New Year of my co-presenter, Dr. Mark Goulston. But we hope that you'll appreciate the chance to hear once again one of our Hurt Less, Live More shows in honour of a special friend. Here it is now. Hello and welcome to Hurt Less, Live More. I'm JJ, Practical Alchemist, and with me as ever is Dr. Mark Goulston, psychiatrist and coach. And Mark, it's welcome to another year, and it can be a tricky time of year for people, can't it?
Yeah, well, we spoke about in the previous one about the holidays and Christmas, and I think for some people, it's a chance for renewal. It's a chance to get started all over again. And then for other people who have a tendency to feel isolated and left behind, it can be, oh, here's another chance to feel disconnected from everyone else. Everyone else is moving forward. Everyone else is thinking about the year ahead. You know, whereas I'm thinking, oh, drat, another year. So, so I think a lot of it is how can one shift one's attitude from negative to positive? And I guess what I would ask people, and maybe we can drill down even into ourselves as examples, is when we're stuck in a negative attitude, you know, something that's not just the temporary disappointment, but, geez, I can't shake this off. What's going on? And again, I am a psychiatrist, and I don't want to dwell on this, but, you know, there's a possibility you have clinical depression going on or something. So, you know, try not to beat up on yourself. If it's not going away, you know, it might be worth checking out. But if we put that aside, maybe we can each share when we've been in a kind of a negative frame of mind, in which case we tend to be pessimistic versus optimistic. What is behind that? And how do we get unstuck? You have any thoughts on that?
I don't know. It's interesting, you see, because if you feel depressed if I feel depressed, it's not just a mental thing for me. You know, we're talking here about psychology, psychiatry, but I can't get away from the fact that it lodges in the body. And it'll either lodge in the heart or in the solar plexus, which is probably the easiest way to describe where it lands. And a lot of people talk about different ways of getting out of that. You can't just say, oh, snap out of it, you know, as many people have tried to do with others in the past. Snap out of it. There's nothing to be upset about. There's nothing to be worried about. Well, that doesn't help at all, obviously. But there are a whole number of things that I might do. And one of them, which has been talked about a lot, especially in recent years, is exercising, getting out and literally shaking it out of your body. That's one way of really kickstarting a way back to that positivity and getting out of that unresourceful state of not being able to move forward to actually literally being able to move forward. What do you think about that?
No, I think that's wonderful. And I, you know, full disclosure, I can't stand exercise. But when I get going, you know, after I'm walking for 10 minutes, I'll say, this isn't so bad. And then if I'm walking for 20 minutes, I'll say, this is pretty good. Why do I fight it?
Mm.
You know, and I know this all intellectually when I start it with inertia. But something I'll share with you, and I like your thoughts on it. As you know, I like to try to come up with these little ways of conceptualizing things. And I sometimes draw upon things that I learned 60 years ago, and I didn't know that I would use them. So I can remember, I think it was algebra, where you could solve using simultaneous equations. If you knew what X and Y were, you could figure out what Z was. I seem to remember that. And so I think years ago, I said, you can do this and I called it solving for simultaneous experiences, meaning, let's say we have feelings, we have thoughts, and we have actions, sort of X, Y, Z. And if you're stuck in one of them, just do the other.
Mm.
So if you're stuck thinking and you can't shake your mind, do something, go exercise.
Yeah.
If you're doing something and it's really not accomplishing anything and the exercise doesn't shake it off, well, then maybe do something that would help your feelings. And that could be watching a movie that touches you, listening to music that touches you. Of course, one of my favorite things is go out and help someone who has less. We talked about that, and yeah, you're volunteering at homeless shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about doing that where you feel their appreciation, you feel compassion, you feel a different perspective. Geez, I don't have it so bad. You know, I have a roof over my head. And so my thought is, when you're stuck in any of those, do the others. So if you're overwhelmed with feelings, you know, then do an activity and then maybe even give it some thought instead of the feeling. Drill down and think, what am I so upset about? Why can't I let this thing go? So that was one of my approaches, but I got that from algebra.
Well, I think it's great, though. I think it's a really easy way for people to take on board and remember when they're in a state that they can just shift what they're doing. It's very easy. And I guess that's the basis of changing your state. You shift what you're doing, and then the whole of you shifts with it. Yeah. No, I like that. I like that a lot. And, you know, we're talking about a new year and resolutions. And what I want to know is, what really prompts people, do you think, to state, usually to the world at large, what their new year's resolutions are? And is it just a question of people wanting to, you know, have a completely different, a fresh start? They want to do things differently because it's a new year. And why do people tail off and they can't sustain it? Because very few people who set resolutions actually do anything really about them. They maybe keep to them for a couple of weeks. And then after that, it's, oh, what New Year's resolutions? Did I say I'd do that? No, I don't think so. What is it that what's behind all of that?
Well, I think you covered a lot with that. And I think people, you know, people do like the idea of a fresh start, you know, and it's not just New Year's. If, you know, let's say you're unhappy in a certain school system and you move, oh, I get a chance to start all over. Maybe I'll be popular in the next school system. Yeah. And sometimes that does happen. But a lot of times, you know, you bring whoever you are, wherever you are, and, you know, you just have to deal with those things. So I think there's something about, what's the saying? Hope springs eternal.
Yes. Yeah, that was one of my mother's favorite terms. Yeah.
I have some tips that I hope will be helpful, because people seem to like tips and tactics. One of the tips is, don't confuse reasonable with realistic.
Mm.
So reasonable, oh, it makes sense. You know, I'm going to start dieting. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to exercise. And it may be reasonable, oh, I'm going to do all of those things, but it's not realistic. Realistic is what's likely to happen. And so don't take on something that may be reasonable, but it's just not realistic. Also, you said, what about there is declaring your resolution?
Yeah.
It doesn't always make it so, but when you declare something, there's a little bit of a commitment that you're making. It's to me, it's analogous to my saying, you want to get something done, schedule it, put it in your calendar. It's there. So I think when we can do these things, it takes it out of our imagination and puts it out into the world. One of my other favorite tips is develop a buddy system. Reach out to someone and say, I'd like us to sponsor each other in terms of overcoming something. This is the year that I'd like to commit to overcoming procrastinating, overcoming blaming others, overcoming whatever. You know, my first book was Get Out of Your Own Way, Overcoming Self-Defeating Behavior. And there's 40 short self-defeating behaviors and different ways to overcome them. And you could reach out to someone. So something I've never been able to pull off, but I would do it in a heartbeat, is I would love to reach out to my children and say, here's a couple things that I would like to commit to improving. And I'd like to commit to doing them until they become natural. And I need something to motivate me. So what is one or two things that you would like to commit to improve, to make your life better? I'm not going to tell you what they are, but you probably know what they are. You know, maybe become more patient, maybe, you know, try to look at life with a half-filled glass, whatever it is, because I know in my mind that if I can imagine my children or my wife or a friend doing something to make their life better, and my caring about them means that matters to me, that might motivate me. So if I know any of my children or my wife or my friends, at the very moment I'm looking at a pint of ice cream and it's looking real good. You know, imagining that they're at that very moment doing something to improve themselves, it might just be able to get me through the impulse. And I think you can reach out to people. By the way, I think this would be a great culture building exercise inside companies. You know, let's form a pod. One of the ways some companies were utilizing get out of your own way is people would self-select a self-defeating behavior, you know, procrastinating, getting angry, you know, saying yes when you really should say no. And they would form support groups around that behavior. And every week they'd check in and they'd make a commitment. In the next week, I'm going to commit to not procrastinating. I'm going to commit to not getting angry and making things worse. And it would be a supportive, forgiving group. So nobody would shame anyone. And people would say, well, you can still do it the next week. And then if people could self-select it, you know, then it might be a more personalized fit than when an organization says, we're all going to work on time management. Well, some people might think, I don't have problems with time management. What I have problems with, I have a short temper, a short fuse.
Yeah.
So those are just some ideas. So do any of those make sense?
That it all makes sense. And I love the idea of having a buddy. It seems to me that when people are making resolutions, they might have good intentions, but they haven't really thought through how they're going to achieve what they want to achieve. So, you know, just saying, for instance, the dieting thing, one's a constant, isn't it, at New Year? Because everybody's overindulged, you know, whether it's been in November at Thanksgiving, then going through all the Christmas parties in December, or there's been Jewish holidays and other holidays. And then you come to the 1st of January, and here, at least in Scotland, a lot of people have got hangovers. And, you know, we've seen in the new year, and we think, oh, I can't do that anymore. I'm going to have to change my ways. But what they don't think of is how. And they don't think of how they might need that support. They might need a buddy to keep them accountable. And so, yeah, it starts off very, very well indeed. And then it just kind of, you can't maintain it. You can't keep it up without that constant support, validation. And it's very difficult to change a habit, isn't it? I mean, you have to really keep going until that, we talk about changing neural pathways and it taking a certain length of time before that really kicks in and it becomes habit, it becomes what you do. It's the same with anything. You have to really keep at it, don't you?
Yes, there's an organization called the Strategic Coach. It's wildly successful. It's in North America. I think the head of it is a fellow named Dan Sullivan. And he talked about hating the word self-discipline. Because most people use it to beat up on themselves as lacking it. And he said, what it really comes down to is habits. And a habit is a discrete change in your behavior that you maintain for a certain amount of time until the change of behavior becomes a habit. And that's maybe why they give a 28-day chip to people in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. Oh, you've done it for 28 days. And then over months, you can internalize it. I remember I did this with dental flossing. I had this really rough, tough dental hygienist who I loved, and she would get on my case about this. And there was one point where it really sunk in because I felt so embarrassed. And so I committed myself to doing it for 28 days. And what happens is I don't think of myself as obsessive, but maybe I am, because now I'm like a dental floss maniac. I have food all over my windshield in my car. You know, when I come to a stoplight, I'm flicking food out of my teeth. I mean, I can't stop it, but it's a pretty good habit. You know, so I get a good report for the dentist.
Oh my God, it is a good habit. And look, we'll come back to more on habits, but first we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston, psychiatrist and coach. And we were talking about habits. And yeah, it takes time to establish a new habit. Now, I have been very good at developing a new habit myself. I've been bouncing on a mini trampoline for my health and well-being and fitness, and I've been loving it. I started off, I got really into it. I'm so into it, and I've been doing it for 3 weeks. And of course, it being the third week, I've kind of tailed off slightly. I missed a day yesterday, only one day, but I missed a day yesterday. Note to self, today I get back on there and I keep going. It's almost like if you're looking at a month, it's almost a given that two-thirds of the way through, you're going to kind of fall off the wagon a bit. That's a difficult time, is when you have to really sort of push through and say, yeah, I'm going to keep on doing this. That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a book, I can't remember, and I'm butchering the title. I think it's something like 6 feet or 6 yards from gold. And it was about, you know, athletes who at the end give up before they finish it. That there's a human tendency just when you're about to be successful that you sabotage yourself.
Yes.
And again, I'll tell you, I am a great believer in the power of people to motivate each other. So again, if you can find a support group around anything, mm-hmm. and you can both air your embarrassment and nobody judges you, and that feeling of just getting what you're embarrassed about up and out and nobody judges you, and there's even good humor. Oh, I've got you beat. This is what I do, and I can't stop it. There's something about that. And, you know, when there's a surge of oxytocin, when there's a surge of connectedness between people, you know, then it seems to balance our cortisol. In fact, I think you're telling me that you're about to fall off the wagon with the trampoline. And I'm hoping, because of the nature of our relationship and you feeling that I care about you, which I do, as I feel you care about me, that there's something even about just doing that, you know, without connecting the dots. But geez, I don't know. I think I feel pretty confident that I'm going to do the trampoline today.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure it does work. And I do feel that way. And I am going to be doing it today. I know it was almost a subconscious thing that I realized I hadn't got it out and done anything. And you think, oh, okay. So how many weeks in are we now? 3. Yeah, I get it. You know, this is the point where it's starting to become a habit, and that's where the self-sabotage comes in. So having somebody like you, like, a group or anybody who can stand by and say, hey, I hear you, but get back on. It's no problem. Don't beat yourself up about it. I wonder how many people at the end of January are beating themselves up because they haven't done what they said they would do. They've given up even before the month is out. And I wonder how many people really do feel guilty, shame, for just not getting where they wanted to be with such enthusiasm at the end of the year.
I think you're totally correct. But I think there's a continuum. I think there are people who have a tendency to really be harsh on themselves, and they will beat themselves up, and they will have all these negative self-statements. You know, you don't follow through on anything. Why do you even bother making resolutions? You know, you're such a loser, blah, blah, blah. And so sadly, there are some people at one end of the spectrum. And then there are other people maybe at the other end and will shrug it off and say, hey, you know, you didn't keep those resolutions, but look what you are doing that you hadn't thought of at the beginning of the year. But look at this new thing that you're doing, and looks like you're getting into a pretty good habit there. So again, I think it really depends on the individual's frame of mind. Something else I wanted to share, another tip, because I seem to be full of tips today. The majority of the world, and we may have mentioned this, you know, maybe my resolution is keep track of where and when you give tips, Mark, because JJ is going to say we covered that. But one observation about most people is the majority of people have what I call reverse cognitive bias. They have hindsight. They wait for something to happen, and then they critique it. And a lot of people can't look forward clearly. And people, many people can have a combination of this. So for instance, I was thinking of starting a diet book with my wife called It's Just Food Diet, because if we get into a conversation about what do you want for dinner, it ruins my appetite. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, or she'll say, well, I don't know what I want to eat. And then I'll suggest things, and she'll use that to say, oh, no, I don't want that one. Oh, okay, that's good. Well, how about this? And we go through a round of 3 of them, and then it's kind of like, and then my standard response is, I'll just have cereal. And yet, when we do go to a place, so we can't look forward in deciding, but when we do go to a place, we have this reverse cognitive bias. Well, that was good. We'll come back here. Or, geez, that wasn't good. That was a lot of money for lousy food. And we'll look back. So one of the things I'd suggest as a tip is imagine it's the new year for 2025. And you do, say, a 360 of your life. And wherever you look, it's better than you could have imagined. And get clear about it. So, for instance, here's an example of that. It's the beginning of the year next year. And with regard to hurt less, live more, we each say, this thing has really grown. I mean, people seem to have found out about it. People seem to be suggesting it to other people. Now, here's the unicorn. Sponsors are chasing after us. In fact, yeah. this is a tangent, but I've got to say it. When you were talking about the trampoline, I was going to say, JJ, this is a great place for product placement. We could have said, now, if you're thinking of a small trampoline, go to Joe's Trampolines in Surrey because they're having a heck of a sale now. And if you buy one, you can get a second one for half price and you can give that to someone you care about. No, but anyway, that's my
It would be good. It would be good. Absolutely. It's a kind of a future, envisaging the future so that your mind starts working along those lines. It starts automatically looking for avenues whereby you might achieve that. So it looks for next steps. It looks for what you might do in the interim to get to where you want to go. Taking the same analogy, we might contact a few people who might sponsor the show. And I mean, that's a fairly obvious one. But if you're looking to lose weight, what are the first steps that you can take? And your brain starts to do that almost on its own. You don't have to tell it because you've implanted an outcome in there, and you start building towards it almost as magic. It's really interesting. It's you know, until you've experienced it, it's very difficult to get your head around it, though, I think.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think you and I had some discussion about rebranding yourself.
Yeah.
And to our listeners, something I make a distinction about is I'm not a coach. I don't coach anyone. I'm a catalyst. And to me, a catalyst is you drill down, you form a relationship with someone you want to help, and then together you brainstorm. And sometimes they can't see, you know, that different brand, you know, because they're stuck in their head trying too hard to figure out what it is. And so I think what my function as a catalyst is when you can help people in your life come up with something that is so tantalizing they can't get it out of their head. And I think we did that with the title of this show because, you know, and again, I still have good feelings about it because this is Hurt Less, Live More.
Mm-hmm.
We could have made it totally positive. And I think there's some actually a much bigger podcast than ours that Live More. I think Chatterbee, whatever his name is.
Dr. Chatterjee.
Chatterjee, yeah. And he has a great show. And so, you know, and part of what I couldn't get out of my head, and I rightly or wrongly convince you to say, okay, we'll go along, is that, you know, when people are hurting, you know, if you can get them to hurt less, they can calm down and then choose something. Whereas if people are hurting and you give them yet another thing to do to feel better, and they're not already doing all the things they said they were going to do, it's really just another chance for them to beat up on themselves. Like, well, why did you say yes to this? Why did you sign up for yet another self-improvement course when you haven't even looked at the five other ones you bought?
Yeah. Yes.
So I think if you're listening to us, and I think this could be really an uplifting way for you to start the new year, you know, speak to people and drill down what really matters to you. You know, if there's one thing that you want to accomplish in life more than anything else, what is that? And why is that? And how did you come up with that? And what would that look like if you did it? And And if you can get that discussion going, and well, what would be a first step to going in that direction? I think we can all help each other greatly. And for me, helping others, there's nothing that makes me feel better than helping others.
Well, I thoroughly agree with you on that point. But at the moment, my main ambition is to take a break right now for more messages from our sponsors. So let's do that. And we will be back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're still listening to Hurt Less, Live More. It's great to have you with us. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist. And of course, with me is Dr. Mark Goulson, just us today. And we are talking about resolutions and how we can stick to them. And that's, you know, that's assuming that we really do want to change something in our lives. And Mark, you know, you've been really great with coming out with some tips today. I'm sure you've got a few more up your sleeve.
But I have to start with a little humor, and JJ's going to go, okay, Mark. I've noticed that you'll occasionally say after a break, and you're still listening to our show. meaning either we've engaged you or we haven't chased you away. And I would love comments from our listeners, but something I think that often helps people stay engaged is both our listeners and both of us have no idea what we're about to say.
No, that's true. We don't.
You know, yeah. And I think, and if what we're saying is relevant to people's lives or engaging, I think the more that people don't know what you're about to say, and if you're being honest and you're somewhat articulate, comfortable with it, there's something really engaging about and holding people's attention when they and you don't know what you're about to say. But getting back to this particular tip.
Well, where can people get in touch with us? Because so people can get in touch with us on social media. They can get me as the Practical Alchemist on Facebook and Instagram. And they can find you as Dr. Mark Goulston everywhere, can't they?
Yeah, you can't hide from me. I'm like a cockroach. I always get in.
So, or email us. email us. You know, you can, we're both on LinkedIn, and, you know, you can message us. There's a whole bunch of ways you can contact us, but we would love to hear from you and find out what you are finding engaging, and any thoughts, any suggestions. We'd love to hear it, wouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. If you do a search for me, it's embarrassing all the stuff you'll find. And some of you, and I could see if you're listening in, you might say, you know, Mark, you've got a lot of bad stuff there. I happen to sell reputation management, if you and I can help you eliminate some of the bad things people are saying about you.
No, let's be real. Let's just have the bad up there with the good. Let's just be authentic. Hmm?
Well, look, yeah. I come from the land of America, and it's called freedom of speech. You can say anything, even if it's inflammatory and ruins someone's day, but that's our freedom of speech.
Yeah, and, exactly. You know,
but something we did talk about in terms of resolutions, and is often to make one and keep one, you have to create space in your mind. If your mind is too cluttered, there's no room to add more to it. It's just another commitment you won't keep. And one of the things we've talked about in other shows, but I think it fits right now, is the power of forgiveness to make space. And something I don't think I talked about before, because it's something that just came up recently for me, as recent as yesterday when I was on another show. We were talking about how forgiving others can help you let go of anger, but asking forgiveness from others can help you let go of shame. You know, I think that's, you know, that's what's behind confession in the Catholic Church. We'll confess, and then we'll be, you know, kind of let off the hook somewhat. But we can make it much more interpersonal than religious. And I've discovered that the more that I can spontaneously reach out to someone and say, I need to apologize to you for such and such. And I'll tell you, an unsolicited apology is incredibly powerful. You know, unless you're dealing with an unforgiving person who says, well, it's a little too late. And the majority of people aren't going to do that. I think when you reach out to them, I know there was a good friend I had, we were interns together in our training, and then we drifted apart. And I think there was some little teeny petty thing I was holding on to, but we were such close friends when we were interns. I reached out to him years later and I said, I think I owe you an apology. I think this little thing happened and I was holding on to it. And so we haven't been in touch in 20 years. Now, he's less neurotic than me. So, of course, he didn't remember it. He said, Mark, I just thought it was because we moved away from each other. and I felt embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But then he called back and he said, what are you doing this weekend? Because I'd like to drive down to Los Angeles with my family so you could meet my wife and my kids. So there really is a power to an unsolicited apology.
That's beautiful. And we've mentioned before on this show, there's a Hawaiian huna, which is the... It's more than just a healing system in Hawaiian culture, but the Huna prayer of Ho'oponopono, where you hold something in your mind. It may be something you've done, so you're trying to forgive yourself. You're forgiving yourself, or it's something somebody else has done, or it's a situation. But it's very powerful, and you say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you." Just very simple words. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that can be love to you. That can be directed at yourself or anything any person, any situation. It's incredibly powerful. And so simple. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of my go-tos if I find myself a bit stuck with anything. And it's so freeing. And yeah, it also, weirdly, apparently, if you eat certain foods as you're doing it, it increases the power of it. Not quite sure how that works, but blueberries are one of the fruits that if you're eating, ingesting around that time as well, that you say the prayer, it increases the vibration of it. There's certain fruits that increase, or foods that increase the vibration. I haven't directly experienced that enough to say whether it does or not, but the prayer itself, just saying those few words, is hugely powerful. Yeah. And it is forgiveness. It's forgiving you. It's forgiving the universe. It's forgiving everything around you. Yeah, letting go.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm not as spiritual or religious as most people. Do you believe that there is a power of praying for other people? Because, when people find out you're going through something, and I mentioned on the show that I'm going through something, I'm blessed. Apparently, there's a lot of people who feel positive towards me, and I'm getting, my prayers are with you. I'm praying for you. And, and then I'll say, prayers gladly accepted. And some of, I'm still having to go forth with a procedure that I need, but my blood tests are getting better. I mean, dramatically better. And yeah. So, I'm wondering what your thoughts are, and I'm certainly open to this, that it can't be hurting matters, but I'm trying to understand this.
Well, it has been shown, hasn't it, that when a large group of people or a group of people join focused on a positive outcome or an outcome, and so prayer really is you're projecting a positive outcome for yourself or somebody. If you're aligned with that and you are, really in alignment with it, but that sounds a bit wishy-washy to people. But what I mean is, when you're really focused and you really feel it and you really want it and you are sending out that intention, that vibration into the ether, it has been proved to work. Things have been shown to shift because of either a mass prayer or a mass intention experiment. I've forgotten the name of the person who ran one a few years back, and it was quite extraordinary the way it changed things. So yes, am I a religious person? No. But do I believe that thought, intention, and the repetition of certain words in the context of what many people deem to be prayer, yes, those can have an effect, I'm sure. So I'm not surprised. And let's just say that the issue with your blood is it is a blood cancer, right? So the mm-hmm. fact that your blood is improving before you have the procedure that you're going in to do, which you will have had done by the time this goes on air. So I absolutely fervently intend that it goes well for you. I'm not that surprised, actually. If you've got that many people sending that intention out for you, not surprised.
Well, I also think of the word alignment, and certainly when we're in a conflict with someone and we feel really out of alignment, we can feel the stress, when we resent someone that we love.
Yeah.
And you can certainly feel the stress, and I'm sure that translates into high cortisol, and high cortisol translates into inflammation, and inflammation is not very good for your body. And so if that's all true, that stress equals cortisol equals inflammation equals poor health, you know, then maybe the opposite is true, you know, that when you're receiving prayer, love, compassion, and something I've been doing is I'm not fighting it. I used to fight when people would care about me. It's not because I didn't want it. It's just that, you know, it just, my identity was, no, you don't care about me. I care about you. That's who I am. And so I'm just allowing it. And
I'm
responding.
So there you go. You're letting it in, and whatever good might come of it is, you know, you're allowing that to happen, which is fantastic. So too many of us actually resist this kind of thing. Too many of us, have this wall around us, this brick wall that nothing can get through. And that causes problems. But I think that what you're experiencing right now is that you've let your guard down. You are accepting care, love, and the positive intentions of the people around you. And I absolutely 100% believe that that can have a positive effect on your body. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm.
We've talked about even recently about when you can, instead of resisting a feeling you're having, if you can identify it, name it, and just lean in and feel it, mm-hmm. it will dissipate quickly.
Yeah.
But the majority of people run away from it. That's the whole basis for this show. You know, people run away from hurt and because they're afraid. Oh, I'm feeling anxious. I'll have a panic attack. Oh, I'm feeling depressed. I better go distract myself because if I get really depressed, I'll be self-destructive. And so I think that's kind of a way of realigning yourself with yourself is that, you know, you're feeling whatever you're feeling and you just lean into it. And it's almost like you emotionally metabolize it.
Yes, I think that's what might happen. Yeah, absolutely. And before we started recording this, I said to you, I wouldn't be feeling quite as optimistic or happy as you were I to be facing the same operation that you are facing. And as I say, by the time this goes online, you will have had. It's major, major, major surgery. It's a bone marrow transplant. So
it's not surgery. It's replacing. It's killing off all my bone. It's killing off all my bone marrow, and then receiving stem cells.
I know.
Hopefully, they start.
This is a non-medic talking. For me, if you have to go into an operating theater or if you have to go anywhere to have something like that done, it's surgery. And I would probably be terrified and would have to work very hard on myself to get to the state that you're in now. Yeah. So, and on that note, hopefully I will have, you know, I'll be putting all the good vibes out into the ether for you when it happens. And hopefully by now you're recovering and you're doing well. And we'll have you back on the show very, very soon. But for now, it's time for us to go. So here's to a new year. Here's to a new you, because you'll have a whole load of new bone marrow in you, serving you well. And thank you to everybody for listening. And I don't know if you want to say something before we finally sign off.
If you're listening in, I hope you can feel the love that goes on between JJ and me. And don't wait till you're facing something like the prospect of dying for you to allow the love to flow and feel it between you and the people you love, you know? Too many people know someone else. Oh, I know my parents love me, but they don't feel the love. They just know it. So thank you.
Well, Mark definitely had me in tears at that point, and little did I know when we recorded this show that there would be many more tears to follow, because Mark had his bone marrow transplant and he was doing well, but unfortunately caught an infection and didn't make it through to 2024. Thank you to everybody who's listened in. It's been a great year of Hurt Less, Live More, but for now, it's goodbye from me, and most especially, goodbye from Mark, my very, very dear friend.